Now, some of those areas, they had the luxury of having a lot of water for their irrigation, and they'd have huge irrigation systems using sort of lateral irrigators, and now they haven't got water, or they've got, you know, one-tenth of the water what they've got. What should those farmers do?
Well, I mean, the Australian landscapes, if they were working within the floodplain system, once again, we've got to deal with evaporation. That's the biggest issue. And in the days of those type of irrigating systems, you know, Ros Kelly had an inquiry back in 95, 94, where they produced figures to show that less than 5% of the water that was cycled in irrigation from right from dams to delivery produced crops or produced photosynthetic production. So 95% of that water was lost. Now, clearly, if we get to a situation where we use the floodplain systems and we learn to reinstate the fertility by growing it back into those areas rather than just mining it and then putting fertiliser on, there'd be a massive change, and there'd be a massive change in the available water and the efficiency of production.
Peter, we could go on for hours, but our time is running out. And what areas have you worked in Australia from? Just give me some idea of the farms you have, from what states you work, from north to south to east and west.
Well, Perth to Townsville. From Perth to Townsville, I've been.
From
Geraldton, got properties in Geraldton, right through Victoria, right up to Townsville, at Gumloo. And the Gumloo property was really very salinised, but within 3 years, they were invited by Woolworths, Coles and Bilo that any products they could grow, they would sell for them. It was run by a fellow, Adrian Posibon, Northern Produce, and he went from, you know, being a highly active chemical farmer to really a mulch farmer, and like he multiplied his crops, he reduced his costs dramatically, increased his growth time by about 6 weeks. Lots of things changed for him.
And what area was that again?
Gumloo, between Bowen and Townsville, right in the middle, right up on that highway that runs from Bowen to Townsville, just about.
I believe they're going to mine that for coal now, aren't they?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Bowen, along they'll end up with a sea in there. Where we were, it was only about 5 kilometres from the really high water mark in the storm, apparently. You know, there's a railway line runs along there. But I'm not sure how much coal was under there. I assume there is coal there, but they probably are. I mean, the biggest percentage of it has gone salty because they've gone away from mulch farming, done too much burning and ploughing, which Queensland's love to do, and you end up with no carbon and all the salt. See, the landscape is about having mineral salts and the sun and the plants produce the carbon. Well, if we burn away all the carbon, we end up with too much salt. We poison the damn thing. I mean, how hard is that to work out?
Yeah, it's very basic. Peter, we've got another question here which I overlooked, and I'd like to ask you this. It's going back a bit in going back to what we were talking about. It's from Alan Wood again, I overlooked this question. So the question is, wattles have a short lifespan due to borers. Has Peter noticed in his travels how to extend their lifespan? Maybe you can answer that question two ways, what other trees you can plant, or the question is how to extend the lifespan off the wattles.
I'm inclined to favour recycling, and wattles are pioneering species, and the faster you recycle them, they have a very dramatic growth rate early, and then they slow down. That's when the borers hop in, because they're probably at the end of their cycle anyway. So I would suggest you sort of set it up in such a way that you can grow a lot more and give them a lot more biodiversity. Usually, when you've got any monoculture, it's the influence of each species against its own kind, causing this allelopathic build-up, and that means the plants are then weakened, and then all these other problems happen. So, you know, it's increasing the variety of plants that work in that system, and then you increase the health of them because they're not poisoning one another.
Peter, we've gone to the time we like to sort of call this quits, because otherwise, believe it or not, we have a bit of trouble putting it on CD. And we do put this on CD so farmers can play it again and again. And we have had reports back from farmers that they just love these CDs. They just play them over and over again. They get more and more out of them each time they play. So, Peter, I'm going to say goodbye for myself and thank all the... But I don't want to say you, I don't want you to say goodbye, because you've got to have the final word. And I would like to thank all the people who've listened to this, and our Farming Secrets members, and anyone else who's going to keep listening to these CDs. Just like to thank you very, very much. Now, Peter, I'd like you to have the final word. Before you say goodbye, can you give us a whatever you think is the most appropriate message for the farmers?
Oh, never forget that sunlight and atmosphere are the only free products we can get, and we have to, every plant that grows is making it available to us. It's not available in any other form, usable form. So, and we can't manage water without we've got a plant. You know, the fact is that plants are basically solar-operated factories that make all the products. They manage water, they look after the soil, everything that we need, and they feed the soil microbes. And every plant does that. Even if it's got prickles all over it and we don't like it at all, it's contributing to that productivity that we need.
Peter, I've got to interrupt very briefly. The war on weeds, what do you think about that, with farmers been trying to, you know, annihilate weeds? We know that they haven't succeeded.
Well, they'll never do it either, because they've got a system, fortunately, that can't be beaten. But, and the fact is that a weed is only a repair plant. And if you used it for the purposes I just described, you'd find that it won't grow. Once you've got the level up to sufficient carbon, the edible or crop plants are able to outcompete it. It's only when we've reduce the conditions that they become a problem, and we should read them as an indicator that our management is at fault rather than that the plant is at fault.
Well, Peter, we'll wind up now, so I'd like to thank all the members of the Farming Secrets who've put in their questions and who are listening. And so it's a goodbye from me, and what, Peter.
Well, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Bye.
Thank you very much for your call, Peter. Thanks for coming on the line.
You're welcome. No problem. Bye.
Bye.